right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor Eli James here. This is Bloodlines, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio and Eurofolk Radio. And today we're going to be continuing our series on the wonderful document, the two seeds of Genesis 3:15. And first of all, there's a question where by seven of none in the Eurofolk Radio chat room, were the Branch Davidians Christian identity? No, they were not. David Koresh was a race mixer, and but the ADL chose to make an example of his group and him, telling all off grid. Non-approved religions that are not approved by the ADL, that they're in for a rough time if they continue their activities. And of course, as actually a message to Christian identity. Okay, so this is the reality of life under the seed line of Cain, because we are in the seed line of the era of the seed line of Cain, as prophesied by our father, Isaac, way back in Genesis. And he said that Esau would have the dominion over us at some point in history. And we have pinpointed that as the Battle of Waterloo, when the Rothschilds took over the banking operations of Europe and control of European nations. They have had control through the UN in recent times, but they've always planned on doing a one world government, and that's what we have. Okay, so let me just communicate now here with the people in the Eurofolk Radio chat room, and let's see if they can hear me. Because we're trying to integrate these three different platforms at the same time. So I'm going to have to turn on butt and get this. Hopefully this won't confuse things. Okay, so I've had to turn on butt for the people in in your folk radio chat room to hear us. Okay, so that we should be broadcasting now on both platforms. And we get into today's subject matter. However, I put a link into the chat room of how to call in. Okay, very good. The link is, I'll just say it out loud, and you can make a note of it, toward the end of today's show. I will mention that that is speakfreeradio.com/bloodlines. /bloodlines. Let me repeat that. speakfreeradio.com/bloodlines, and I will announce when I'll be taking calls. So anybody in the world can call in and ask me questions. And even Rothschild, even Rothschild can call me and ask me questions. And but I already found out, and let me just quickly mention that you can go to Speak Free Radio and you can scroll down to the Speak Free Radio chat room there, which has the same Chatango chat room. Your username and your password will work there as well. So I'm going to be multitasking and straining my brain to the ultimate limit of capacity. I hope the computer doesn't overheat. But I will be having fun doing this, folks, because the whole point of this is to reach as many people as possible, to wake up as many Israelites as possible to the truth of their identity as Yahweh's chosen people, and to awaken the entire world to the shenanigans, for all the Irish people out there, the shenanigans of that Cain satanic seed line. Okay, and so a quick shout out to Dave Gehary at Speak Free Radio and MoneyTreePublishing.com, where he has several books available. This is actually a sponsored show, but it's sponsored by someone who is equally interested in dethroning the Antichrist Jew as we are here. And so my book, The Great Impersonation, is available there. Just go to moneytreepublishing.com. And for the measly price of $30, you get more truth in that one book than you did in 30 years of college education. 30 years of college education. In fact, college and all secular education is nothing but Jew brainwashing. That's all it is. All right. So again, that's, if you want to call in later on, I'll announce exactly when I'm going to open up the studio for call-ins. And that's speakfreeradio.com/bloodlines. And so write your questions down, questions and our comments, because I'm sure there's going to be plenty, especially if we have new leaders, readers and listeners. And we're going to try to expand our horizons to include every truth seeker, every white person, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be doing our best to do that. All right, so let's get into today's subject matter, which is the two seeds of Genesis 3:15. And let me just put this into the chat room just in case I forgot to do that, because everybody here needs to be following along, if possible, to this page, okay, which is, it says Lee Mage, but that's Dan Gaiman. And so let me start on page 16 toward the bottom. This is from the Internet Archive site. Michael today, he had a family gathering, so he couldn't join us today. But we will have our usual co-host for Voice of Christian Israel at noon Eastern, and that's Brother Rick, and we'll be continuing our series. Okay. All right. So apparently there's a back and forth thing happening. So we may have to redesign this whole operation, but we'll continue today as is, because it's too late to make any changes right now. So hopefully we can straighten that out. I guess there's an in and out sound on Eurofolk Radio. So on page 16, Cain, having been born first, sought to claim the right of the firstborn that is inherent in the dominion of this earth. Of course, that dominion was set up by Yahweh. But going back to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to the end, which I believe is verse 31, the dominion was given only to the white race, those who show blood in the face, the Adamites. Dominion was given to us exclusively, and the Bible is a book of that exclusive, that very much exclusive bloodline coming from Adam through Seth and the original patriarchs before the flood and the patriarchs after the flood. If you heard Brother Hebert's show before this one, he documented that very carefully, reading from both Luke and Matthew, the bloodlines which are coming from Adam. And so we, just as much as Yahshua Messiah was the Son of God, we are also sons and daughters of Yahweh. Okay, we are the sons and daughters of Yahweh. That's what the bloodlines are all about. And that's why in Genesis 3:15, we have enmity declared between these two bloodlines, the bloodline of Cain, who was not of Adam, who was of Nahash through Eve. So Eve was the mother of these two bloodlines. But Adam is only the father of the Adamic bloodline, and Nahash is the father of the Cain satanic seed line. Okay, that's the essence, to kind of sum up introduction here of what's going on. So as I said, there's also, you can go to Speak Free Radio and either listen there, and they have a chat room as well. It's exactly the same chat room, Chatango, that there is here at Eurofolk Radio. So we'll get this organized and coordinated eventually, folks. So this is our trial. This is our maiden voyage, so to speak. And again, thanks to Dave Gehary at Money Tree Publishing for arranging all this. Okay, so we'll get this organized. We'll get it working properly, if not today, very soon. Okay, so let me continue here. So because he was not born within the law of kind after kind, Cain was disinherited from the birthright. Well, He never had an opportunity to claim it because he wasn't of Adam, right? So it never belonged to him. And I think that is why, the reason why Cain slew Abel, because Cain knew that he could not inherit the birthright. And the only way he could inherit the birth, well, he wasn't going to get it anyway, because Yahweh would make sure that other children would eventually be born from Adam and Eve, which of course happened. So, and that was the firstborn Seth, the first pureborn son after Abel was murdered. That was Seth. So let's continue. Cain was a bastard, Mamzer, and this is the same reason why Esau was unacceptable, because he rejected his birthright and then married into the Cain satanic seed line. So the Cain satanic seed line then had a new infusion of Adamic blood. They actually had an infusion of Adamic blood through Canaan. And I just came to the realization last night in discussing this issue that Canaan, although he was the product of incest, because he lay with his mother Naamah after Noah and Naamah got falling down drunk and produced Canaan. So Ham lay with his mother Naamah and produced Canaan. So, and we had a discussion of whether the law of incest obtained already, but it had to. So it's quite possible that, and that this is the reason why Canaan was cursed and not Ham. So it could be that Canaan was in some way deformed and somehow an impure bloodline. And that happens when incest take place, but it doesn't always happen. You know, a lot of people who are born of incest have deformed bodies. Toulouse Lautrec was an example. His first cousins married and produced Toulouse Lautrec, and his lower body was virtually useless. His legs were useless, but he became a great painter nonetheless. Okay. So, but this is a subject that needs to be delved into more seriously as to when exactly the law of incest applies to our people. Because, and as I mentioned, there is a person, his name escapes me at the moment, who did a study of this, and he said that if you have 8 purebred people, 4 males and 4 females, you can intermarry amongst each other and not incur incest. And I have that study available, but I don't have it with me at the present time. So I will definitely do a show on that subject. But you definitely have to have a flow chart. You have to have a flow chart to get it. All right. So let's continue. All right. Because Cain was a bastard mongrel, out of kind being or seed. As such, he could never enter into the congregation of the eternal Yahweh, Deuteronomy 23:2, which says there is no bastard acceptable, which means mongrel, mamzer in the Hebrew, acceptable to his congregation. That's Deuteronomy 23:2. Because Satan sought to get his seed into the earth as the firstborn of the Adamic creation. Yes, you got that. Well said. Well said, Pastor Gaiman. That was the intention. That's why Nahash seduced Eve. Because since Adam, being a male, could not give birth, the only way to do it was to impregnate. The firstborn was subsequently passed over by Yahweh in all critical times of history. And we find that Seth and not Cain was chosen. And Seth means replacement or substitute. It was Isaac and not Ishmael that counted for the true seed of Abraham. And we're going to be talking about that at Voice of Christian Israel later today. It was Jacob and not Esau that received the right of the firstborn under the election of God, even though Esau was born first. But because Esau despised his birthright and interbred with the seed line of Cain, there's no way Esau could be accepted. Simply no way. Two major reasons why. Okay, and it was Ephraim, not Manasseh, the firstborn, who received the birthright as recorded in Genesis 48. The only way that you can ever account for Yahweh choosing the second born in preference to the firstborn is because Cain, being the firstborn from the womb of Eve, had placed a sin upon Adam's race. And not until the second Adam, Yahshua Messiah, was born of the Virgin Mary, was the curse lifted. Okay? Well, I think we're still cursed because too many of our people are sinners. Okay, we did receive an infusion of Holy Spirit, but you have to accept that infusion of the Holy Spirit. You just can't take it for granted, and that's what Paul means. That's what Paul means when he says, not all Israel is of Israel. You have to, and there's other translations which clarify it. That's the King James Version. Other versions have it, since not all Israel is, although all Israelites are descended from Israel, they are not all Israelites because they have to follow, they have to accept Yahshua, the kinsman redeemer, as their redeemer. And if they don't, then they're not counted as Israelites, okay? They're counted as heathen. And we may have a chance to get into that today as well on Voice of Christian Israel. Okay, so continuing with the study from Internet Archive, and this is Two Seeds of Genesis 3:15 by Charles Lee Mange, who is actually Dan Gavin. Let's continue. So, next, and I'm on page 16 for those of you who have joined us late. Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah, as the last Adam and the more recent Adam, the second Adam, was without mother and without father, having neither beginning nor ending of days, Hebrews 7:3. Now, I think there's a problem with this interpretation by Dan Gaiman here, because Yahshua had a mother, namely Mary, and he had a father, namely Yahweh, just as Adam is counted as the son of Yahweh. Adam is counted as the son of Yahweh. And Yahweh had to provide a perfect mate for him, namely Eve. Okay? They were both sinless when they were created, because Yahweh does not create sinful beings. You have to rebel against him to be sinful, just as Lucifer rebelled against him and found pride, the sin of pride. And I think Lucifer may have gotten an inclination of the divine plan that that Adam would not worship Lucifer, and Lucifer wanted to be worshipped by everybody in place of Yahweh. That was Lucifer's sin. That was a sin of pride. And you know, we can do a show about that at another time, because there's all different connotations of Lucifer in Isaiah and in Ezekiel, and we can go through that in great detail. But let's continue. Now, Hebrews 7:3. So let me go to Hebrews 7, verse 3. And I'll just start from verse 1. The priestly order of Melchizedek. Verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, El, God, divinity, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Obviously, Abraham was already blessed by Yahweh to achieve victory with the help of Lot and even the help of non-Israelites that he overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace. Now, Salem was actually the city of Jerusalem. It was first known as Salem and then became known as Jerusalem. So, but here's where verse 3, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. It says, like unto the Son of God. Not equal to, but like unto. And the fact of the matter is, Yahshua did have a father, namely Yahweh. He did have a mother, namely Mary, both of them purebred Israel. Again, purebred Israelites. have to be purebred, and that's the whole point of a sacrifice without blemish, which Yahshua was. He was perfect in his genetics. The sin of Cain and Eve did not affect him. It has affected us, but it did not affect him. And I conclude that Mary had to be virtually sinless to qualify. And if she wasn't, then the Holy Spirit would have cleansed her womb before, you know, that spark of life occurred in her womb. Okay. Without descent. Now, what is this? Yahshua definitely is descended. It tells us he is the root and the offspring of Jesse. So his line of descent is from Yahweh, and it was infused into the line of Israel from the Garden of Eden through Adam. Okay, so his genetics was maintained by the offspring of Seth. And unlike the Judeo churches, which teach that, oh, well, that prophecy in Genesis 3:15 that has nothing to do with lines of descent. It's just about Messiah. It's about the lines of descent, because Messiah could not have been born in the flesh had he not had literal flesh and blood Israelite ancestors. There's no way he could have been born. Okay? So he is definitely with descent. He even says, my father is greater than I. I do the will of my father. And if you read the Gospel of John, the father-son relationship is very much stressed in the Gospel of John. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God. So what we're talking about here, in my opinion, is that we're talking about the priestly order or office of the priesthood, which began even before Salem. It began in the Old Testament, because the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek is the first son of the first son of the first son of the first son of the first son. And that priestly order still exists in our people even today. But we've lost track of the genealogy, but Yahweh knows and Yahshua knows who we are, who should be a priest and who shouldn't. And also we have Levites still in the world today and Kohanim still in the world today. It's just we've lost track of the genealogy. It doesn't really matter as long as we accept Yahshua Messiah as our high priest and maintain the purity of our bloodline and obey righteousness, as it says in Revelation 12, verse 17, those who obey the commandments of God or divinity, Yahweh, and have the faith in Yahshua Messiah. If you do not have those two qualifications, there's no way you're going to be part of the 144,000, the 12 tribed kingdom that is going to descend from heaven into earth, the new Jerusalem. There's no way you'll be part of that office. So that office will be continued in us as the new Jerusalem after we have the wedding feast of the Lamb. Okay? So those things still have to happen. We're obviously very close to the very end of these things. So here, now, an office does not have a father, does not have a mother, does not have a line of descent directly from one after the other. And the line of descent was broken in Enoch, because Enoch's father was a priest of the order of Melchizedek. But Enoch could never assume that office because he died before his father died. Enoch died first. So it had to be another first son that had to pick up the office. And so that was carried on with our genetics into the earth after the flood. And a lot of people think the person that Abraham made offering to was Shem. Some think it was Yahshua Messiah coming in the flesh earlier in in history, whatever it is, it's an office. It's an office, okay? But yeah, that's a subject for another time. So, nevertheless, the point being is that we need to tithe to the office of the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, okay? So I welcome your tithes, and I welcome your purchase of my book, The Great Impersonation, which explains all these things, okay? So in any case, all right, our people are in that line of descent, and we're all relatives of that priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, because we are Israelites, and no other species on planet Earth qualifies. And that's the point of the Gospels, is you have to be an Israelite to be considered covenanted to Yahweh. Okay? Covenant to Yahweh. Well, let's continue. So I have a minor point of disagreement here with Pastor Dan Gaiman on, because Yahshua was not without mother, and he was not without a father. We're talking about the office of the priestly order of Melchizedek here. Okay, so let's continue. Nevertheless, as he says, this is the beginning of a new creation from the old Adamic stock. Well, the old Adamic stock is still purebred, even though it was tainted from the fall. And that taintedness still exhibits itself in our behavior, because it makes it difficult for us to obey Yahweh's laws because of that tainted nature that we have. So there is still within us a little bit of that tainted DNA. Well, not the DNA, but let me put it this way. Having studied physiological psychology, which means biology, biological psychology, it has been proven time and time again with experimentation that behaviors can be inherited. Behaviors can be inherited. They've proved this over and over with various species, especially mice. You know, they trained one group of mice, one generation of mice, how to run through a maze. And they've noted how long it took them to finally figure out, you know, I guess some of the mice die before getting out of the maze, but they keep trying, keep trying, keep trying until they get through. Okay. And if one of them gets through, I don't know if he dares go back into the maze. He's probably afraid to get out. They won't get out again. But memory can be transmitted, and behavior via genetics. Memory and behavior can be transmitted via genetics. So they find that in the second generation of mice, both male and female, and I think in our case, women have better memories than men do. Having been married for 40 years, I can guarantee you my wife has a better memory than I do. She remembered every single fault, every single misdeed during our marriage and before our marriage. She would always remind me of my missteps, okay? So she had a much better memory than I do. We men tend to forget those kind of things. We forget our own mistakes, and we forget the mistakes of other people too, okay? Not that we're more forgiving. We're just more forgetful, okay? But that being the case, this is why our species has not overcome the learned behavior, the generational learned behavior. So unless you obey Yahweh's laws and accept the infusion of the Holy Spirit in the Feast of Pentecost, 33 AD, and others dispute among the various denominations of CI as to what exact year it was, even who was it? The scientist who was actually a great Christian who figured out gravity. I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, well, that's just a law or a reasonable summary of the law of gravity. Isaac Newton is the person I'm trying to think of course. And he reasoned that it had to be somewhere between 30 AD and 34 AD based on the eclipses and the position of the sun and the moon and stars in the sky. And because the Bible is very clear that certain things have to obtain before the first advent. Okay. And so, and I think we have a similar situation here with the second advent. I'm going to do shows about that in the very near future, because we're approaching the 70th Jubilee from the day that Yahshua invaded Canaan land. That's coming up in the year 2024. In the year 2024, that would be Passover. Passover in the year 2024 is the 70th Jubilee from the invasion of Canaan land by Joshua and the Israelites. That's got to be a very significant fact. And so I'll be doing shows about that leading up to Passover of 2024, okay, which in the solar calendar is April 8th. I don't know what it is with the solar lunar calendar, but most of them are usually very close to one another. Although the Jewish calendar, which includes the moon, can be 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later. So, and the same with the Catholic calendar, which is based on the full moon, not the new moon, can also be 2 weeks earlier or 2 weeks later. Okay. The solar calendar does not involve the moon. It just involves the sun and the equinoxes. And that's the instruction given to us by Enoch. Okay. So we can talk about that another time, but whatever feast you practice, make sure to practice it on a regular basis, because we're instructed to keep the feasts as a memorial. We must keep the feast as a memorial, and whether we do it perfectly or not doesn't matter. Yahweh knows our hearts. We're trying to obey his laws and not abandon his memorials. So his memorials are very, very important, and I'll be doing a show about how the meaning of these memorials and how we should be practicing them on an annual basis. That's what we should be doing. Okay, let me just continue here on the bottom of page 16. Yahshua Messiah took on the seed of Abraham, Hebrews 2:16, and began a new creation from the old Adamic stock. But if we do not accept the Kinsman Redeemer's act for us at Calvary, and if we do not accept the feast of sorry, folks. I didn't have enough coffee this morning. I just mentioned it, and I lost track of it already. But anyway, it's in the summer, right? All right. So let me get back to this document. Okay, so Pentecost. Okay, slipped my mind. Feast of Pentecost. Right after Yahshua died for us, that's when we got the Holy Spirit, the infusion of the Holy Spirit. And my reckoning says 33 AD, but others have picked different points. Nevertheless, it's something we have to accept, that we have to accept the infusion of the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can do that is by trying to be as sinless as possible in your life, because when Adam and Eve were formed by Yahweh, he breathed his breath into them, his Holy Spirit into them, and they were sinless. They were made sinless by that inbreathing. And the same thing would apply to Yahshua's sacrifice at Calvary and giving us that new inbreathing at Pentecost. So there's a direct connection between Genesis 2:7 and Pentecost in the New Testament. That's why these feasts are so important. Okay, so firstborn male without sin, page 17 now, by means of the virgin birth was the new first fruits from the new creation of the new grafting made onto the old Adamic root by the virgin born incarnate God, okay, Yahshua Messiah. And now he uses the term Jesus Christ here, but that's because I know at this point in time, Dan Gehman was a Yahweh believer, and he still is, but he uses the term Jehovah instead of Yahweh. I don't think he realizes that Jehovah is a Masoretic invention. okay? But a lot of people don't do studies, word studies, on these things. But nevertheless, Bertrand Comparé, Dr. Wesley Swift, are Yahweh believers, but Sheldon Emery was not. So there are a lot of people in CI who are not Yahweh believers, who are not two seedliners, etc. So nevertheless, we need to make common cause with our brethren, because we are brethren, and if we disagree with one another about this or that doctrine, shouldn't be an obstacle to our ministry. Why? Because we have to unify against the enemy, which is the seed line of Cain, otherwise known as the perfidious Jew. Okay, and it's the perfidious Jew who has been working overtime trying to change the language of Scripture to fool us, and such as the word Jew and the word Gentile and many other lesser and minor Yahweh, replacing the word Yahweh with L-O-R-D. That's a major change incited by the Masoretes. So we're in a situation where, unless we are familiar with how the Masoretes have changed the Bible for us, the translations of the Bible, then we cannot realize what kind of errors there are in the various modern translations. So let's continue. Okay. As the firstborn of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Yahshua Messiah was the firstborn male born without sin in the lineage of the Adamic race. Yahshua Messiah was the very God and very man. Yahshua Messiah alone could thus be the perfect sacrifice for sin, that is the original sin that both Adam and Eve engaged in, and our actual sin. Yahshua Messiah was the first, our sin in the new covenant requires repentance and the act of not repeating those sins. Okay, repentance and continual falling away back into sin is not acceptable. When you realize you are sinning, then you have to make a change. And that's when Paul says, be converted, be converted. The prize at the end of the tunnel is worth it. The prize at the end of the tunnel is worth it. So you have to give up your addictions. You have to give up your addictions, especially if it's addictive drugs and pornography, all that kind of other stuff. If you're addicted to that stuff, you have to make an effort to unaddict yourself, and which is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. But let's continue. So, every member of Adam's race after the fall was born with sin, or with a, not that we commit the sin, because the Bible clearly says the children are not responsible for the father's sin, and the father is not responsible for the children's sin. Nevertheless, we carry within us this memory and this tendency, which is carried through in our genetics. It's not a physical blot on our body, but it is a mental blot, a memory blot that carries over from one generation to the next. And I think that's why, and this is why Yahweh has created the death penalty. Because the people who engage in these sins habitually have to be gotten rid of. And don't you know the Judeo churches, the liberals, the Jews, they're all opposed to the death penalty. Why? Because they want to make sure that this habitual sin carries on. That's why. Okay? So let's continue. So let's accept that as meaning, the meaning of original sin. Yahshua Messiah was the firstborn male to be born without original sin. Read Romans 5:12. Yahshua Messiah, by circumventing procreation and being born of the Virgin Mary, had entered into the world without sin as a firstborn male of Adam's race. But he was still born of a woman of Israel, born of Judah through David. Okay, he was still born of a woman, okay? Had to be born into the race to be our kinsman redeemer, right? He had to be born into, he had to become our kinsman. Not figuratively, but literally, our kinsman redeemer. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so Satan's effort to place his seed into the earth as the firstborn of Adam's race from the womb of the woman Eve was thus denied by the true incarnation of Yahweh in Yahshua Messiah. Okay, I have no problem with that statement. The lineage of Satan, Cain, and for those of you who are just joining in, this is the two seeds of Genesis 3:15 by Charles Lee Mange at archive.org. And I am on page 16 and 17, actually page 17 right now. First full paragraph. The lineage of Satan, Cain, Canaan represents a spurious bastard counterfeit seed line in this earth that is not of Yahweh's planning, Matthew 15:13. This evil seed line, the tares of Matthew 13, will be totally destroyed when Yahweh judges the earth the second time by fire. And the tares, the spurious seed of Satan, the Canaanites, otherwise known as Jews, will be removed from the presence of God forever, Zechariah 14:21. Now, he doesn't use the word Jew in this document because he's intending this document to a general audience who may or may not know that the Jews are, in fact, the satanic seed line, okay? But we in identity know who they are. And, of course, you know, other, even members who understood seed line but never talked about Jews, had to use that tactic to prevent being censored. So, for instance, the Shepherd's Chapel, Pastor Arnold Murray, he simply used the word Kenites because he had a television show, and he brought this message to many people by television. He would have been taken off television had he used the word Jew instead of Kenite. So we have to use our own jargon in order to get past the Jewish censor. However, Speak Free Radio and Eurofolk Radio are not subject to Jewish censorship. We can say whatever we please within reason, you know, because Paul says we must, you know, use kindly speech toward one another, and it doesn't help us to use a lot of pornography, porno speech, right? Speech and criticizing one another, you know, unnecessarily, etc., etc. Always speak to each other with respect and humility. And we learn from each other best that way, because if we involve our emotions, get angry and upset with each other, then we lose focus of what we're trying to achieve. All right. So let's continue. Next pair, first full paragraph. Okay. And I think Matthew 15:13, is that the passage that every plant that is not planted by Yahweh will be rooted up? I'm sure that's what Matthew 15:13 states. And of course, the churches never quote that, because the Jews were not planted by Yahweh. The Jews were planted by Nahash. This evil seed line, the tares of Matthew 13, will be totally destroyed when Yahweh judges the earth the second time by fire. And the tares, that is the Jews and anybody who allies itself with the Jews, you become an it. You are no longer a male or female of the bloodline, if you ally yourself with the Jews. You might as well count yourself out. And don't you know that's what the Jews are trying to do? They're trying to declare male and female obsolete and worshiping their God, which is the male and female God that they worship, right? Trying to blend the race, blend the genders back together, because they believe in that false god, that goat head god with breasts and both male and female genitalia. That's the god they worship, and that's the god that's being worshipped by the liberals, many Judean Christians, and certainly those who want to maintain there's no difference between male and female. And that includes your communists, your socialists, everybody who graduates from college these days is worshiping Baphomet, that male-female god. That's the god they're actually worshiping. And the Jews are trying to supplant Yahweh with Baphomet as we speak, folks. That's what's happening. Okay. So, the true Adamic seed line descending from Seth by the appropriation of the blood of Yahshua Messiah represents a new recreated seed of Adam with access to the tree of life. Yahshua Messiah has purchased by his own blood eternal life for us, the true Adamic seed, who were doomed to death. Well, most of us did die, right? Only Elijah and Enoch in the Old Testament did not taste of death. Even Yahshua tasted of death. He had to die, otherwise our sins could not have been forgiven at the cross. So, and this is basic two-seed line understanding. I mean, this is very basic two-seed line that Charles Lee Mange, otherwise known as Pastor Dan Gaiman, is presenting here. Okay? And unless you're familiar with the seed lines, you don't know that there is a non-Yahweh created seed line. Okay? Spurious seed that is running around claiming to be God's chosen people. Okay? So definitely appropriation, mimicry, trying to displace us. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to displace us by eliminating us. So we have to double down, folks, and fight back even harder against the Cain satanic seed line, because they will never give up. They will never give up, and neither should we, because this is war, folks. This is war. So load your guns. And fortunately for us, especially here in America, possibly only here in America, thanks to the Second Amendment, which the Jews have been trying so hard to get rid of, but they've failed to get rid of it, and they will continue to fail to get rid of it. The Rothschilds are just going to have to make war against us while we're full armed. They will have no choice but to attack us while we are fully armed. And God help them, Lucifer help them when that happens, because they're not going to succeed. We beat them at the American Revolution. We beat them at the War of 1812. There was a stalemate at the Civil War because both sides were actually financed by the Rothschilds. But their financial crimes against us, which began with the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank, have made us their slaves, fully made us their economic slaves. And only those of us who are of the proper seed line have any understanding that we are slaves. And of course, this is a global slavery, because the Rothschilds created all these other globalist banks by which they deceive the people and get us all into hock through usury. And now, even worse, using the mRNA jab, a la Monsanto, they claim to own us because they have injected into us their hybrid seed. That's their claim, folks. They are fully intending to do that, and they have done so legally, trying to legally claim that they own us because they have injected us with their mRNA injection. All right? So, but what did Monsanto do? They claimed that if their seed, their hybrid seed, blew into a neighbor's farm, a farmer who did not purchase their seed, they still claimed that even though that farmer did not buy their seed, they claimed that crop because it was infected by their seed. So this is, of course, legal chicanery, but that's all the Jews do is chicanery while pretending to be God's chosen people. So, folks, we're going to have to fight these people. We're going to have to hunker down and fight these people. There is no fending off this war, folks. We're in the midst of it, and it can only get worse until the second coming. So let's continue. The appropriation on the bottom, or right in the middle of page 17 of this document, the two C's of Genesis 3:15, where we read, this is what the true incarnation of God in Jesus Christ has accomplished. As Christians of the true seed of Adam, particularly the seed of Isaac, Genesis 21:12, which the Jews do not acknowledge that verse, they never do. Let us this day appropriate the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice for sin, both original sin and our actual sin. Again, if we want to be redeemed from our actual sin, we have to incur repentance and be truly repentant of our sin and not go around sinning. Now, most of us in our interaction with other people, most of us white people do not engage in any kind of sin. We're trying to obey the law, the vast majority, even non-identity. White people are doing their best to obey the law, unless, of course, they become addicted to some substance, which means they are no longer in control of their will, because those addictive substances take over our minds and bodies and spirits. So those people, if they can't get off their addiction, they're in big trouble. They're really in really big trouble. Because, as Paul says, whatever you worship in place of Yahweh, that thing that you worship, you give your being to. Okay? And certainly that's true of all addicts. True of all addicts. Okay? So the serpent has been crushed, and very shortly the head of the serpent will be bruised under the heel of everlasting judgment. So that day is coming very soon. You, as a white Christian or follower of the way of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, redeemed by the firstborn from the dead, the pure-blooded, unblemished blood of Yahshua Messiah, now understand the meaning of Genesis 3:15. You, by the grace of Yahweh, now have the key to unlock the Bible. You have the understanding as to the meaning of Genesis 3:15. May you use this knowledge to the glory of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Our God will curse you in your sin if you do otherwise, okay? If you do otherwise. So that is the end of this chapter. Let me just flip the page here real quickly. And again, it's the two seeds of Genesis 3:15. It starts on page 19. And let me just tell everybody that I'll go into this for about half an hour, and then I will open up the chat room at Speak Free Radio, and call-ins will be taken, okay? And the call-in URL is speakfreeradio.com/bloodlines. If you type that into your browser, you will be able to talk to me live on this radio show. Okay, so chapter 3 of the two seeds of Genesis 3:15, and he quotes it again, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, the verse his is a false translation. It should be its, because it's both male and female, so it should be a neuter noun. But because when the King James Version was translated, they didn't have a neuter pronoun. It did not exist in our language yet. So what we're reading there is an obsolete form or an anachronistic version of the translation here. Okay, let's continue. The two seeds of Genesis 3:15. No subject in divine scripture carries more weight and deserves our attention with greater emphasis than does the two seeds spoken of in Genesis 3:15. And it goes without saying that the Judeo-churches totally ignored this subject. The Jews totally ignored this subject because they know what seed line they belong to. Therefore, they will not discuss it because they're afraid, oh, they might be pointed out. Hey, that's the seed line of Cain, the Jews. That's them. They're Amalek. They're Esau. They're Kenites. They're the ones. Okay? And how do we know? By their fruits shall ye know them. By their fruits shall ye know them, folks. Okay. If you seek to be a follower of Yahshua Messiah, if you are concerned with understanding the Holy Bible, if you are ever to proceed from the milk to the meat state of understanding Holy Scripture, then you cannot fail to do business with Genesis 3:15. It is the seed plot of all scripture. The proper understanding of this scripture is vital to the total pattern of discerning all scripture. Yeah, if you don't know about the two seed lines and ignore the two seed lines, you will not know the true nature of the enemy. You will not know the true nature of the Jew, who is, in fact, a literal descendant of Cain through Nahash. That's what the Jew is. The importance of this subject reaches across the ages to the very hour that we are living in. You cannot comprehend national and international news events without an understanding of Genesis 3:15. Your foundation of kingdom identity Bible truth will stand or fall in relationship to what you do with Genesis 3:15. Failure to understand and divide this subject could ultimately exclude you from membership in the ecclesia of Jesus Christ. And ecclesia means congregation or assembly. Let us proceed to discuss Genesis 3:15 in the light of Bible and historical scholarship. What are the implications of this tremendous verse of Scripture? With the unfailing help and guidance of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you will see. If you were born with eyes to see and with ears to hear and discern spiritual truths, first, we must understand that Genesis 3:15 cannot be studied or understood out of the context of the canon of Scripture. Absolutely, cannot be understood, because it is part of Scripture. It is the very first prophecy. Now, I'm not sure if there's a missing page here. I just flipped the page, and I'm not seeing page 20. So I'll just continue. Okay. Oh, it's still loading. All right. That's no good. Okay. It's still loading. Maybe there's a problem of coming from archive.org. But I have page 21. I don't have page 20. So there might be a problem coming from archive.org. So let me just continue here. The identity of white Christian Israel, so I'm on page 21, the very top, has been lost, and the seed of the serpent has not been articulated because they've been pretending to be Israel for the last 2,000 years. The failure of theologians to identify the serpent seed also resulted in their failure to identify the seed of the woman. Today, the entire religious world worships the international Jew. Oh, there you go, the international Jew. Thank you. As the chosen people of God, because that wicked seed was not articulated and identified. There is a reason why practically every Christian minister in the Western world eulogizes and exonerates the Jew as the chosen of God. That blasphemous lie has come about because the seed of the serpent was not identified. Well, I think he misspoke here. The word eulogize is to present a sermon at someone's death, okay? And it's usually in the form of a good report, a eulogy, right? So, but I think the proper word here would be to lionize the Jews as God's chosen people. Let's continue. If one of these two seed lines is spiritualized, they both are. But that can't be, because the lineage of Messiah goes directly from Adam, directly from Yahweh. And that is a physical seed line. Otherwise, all those genealogies aren't worth anything. And since that is a literal seed line, so is the seed line of Cain. And both of them can be easily documented from Scripture. Okay. But because the churches ignore this subject, every denomination outside of identity simply ignores this subject. The vast majority of white people are uninformed on this point. Let's continue. When you deny the existence of one, you must deny the existence of the other. Jesus Christ clearly divided these two seeds in Scripture, and we must do likewise. In speaking to the seed of the serpent, for example, the Jews, Yahshua Messiah told them that they were not his sheep. John 10:26. In this same chapter, Yahshua said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." What nations have heard his voice and become Christians? What people to this day have utterly rejected Yahshua and the Christian faith? Well, certainly the Jews have utterly rejected it. and they have no intention of following it. Other races pretend to follow it, do the best they can, but they are not covenant people. They're not covenant seed, as Yahshua plainly said to the Canaanite woman, Matthew 15:24, "Madam, I cannot give you the children's bread." And she said, "Truth, Lord, but the dogs take the crumbs from their master's table." Okay? So she acknowledged that she's not an Israelite in that passage. Again, these are passages that the Judeo churches totally ignore. These two seeds of Genesis 3:15 are the seed plot of all theology and must be labeled and identified. This exposition is doing just that. Okay, well, page 20 has still not loaded, and I may have a problem here, which I did not anticipate. The page 22 is not loading. Let me try to back up. It's jumping to page 24. I did not realize that this was this page was in such bad shape. So let's continue on page 24. And so I think I'll just continue reading this page and then go into, you know, comments and calls, because I'm having so much trouble with this archive.org document. I had assumed it was a complete. Anyway, page 24 now. It is imperative that every Bible student know that the serpent in Genesis 3:15 was Satan, and that he had appeared as an angel of light to the woman Eve. The serpent had carried on dialogue, had quoted and misquoted scripture, and employed all the characteristics of a very intelligent being, not a snake, who could only hiss. The word serpent, as used in Genesis 3:15, is from a Hebrew word translated nachash, and means hiss, whisper, a magic spell, divine, enchanter, to use enchantment, learned by experience, a snake, a serpent. See number 5175 in the Hebrew, Caldy Dictionary of Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. The word serpent, as used in the New Testament, is such key passages as 2 Corinthians 11:3, Matthew 23:3, and Revelation 12:9. So let me jump over to 2 Corinthians 11:3 and see what the context is there. Second Corinthians 11:3. Okay, so let me back up to verse 1. 2 Corinthians 11:1, Paul and the false apostles. So it should be clear to everyone that Paul, it's not appearing on my screen in as a double page. I can try switching to single page and see if that works. Okay, but since I've thank you for that advice, Swamp Fox. Okay, so let's continue here with the verses referenced here by Dan Gaiman, 2 Corinthians 11:1. Would to Elohim, and this is the God in the Greek, Ophelon, first person singular of a past tense. Oh, okay, would to God. It's taking the whole expression as an interjection. Would to God. It doesn't reference the word God in the Greek here. Would to God, that expression is an interjection in the Greek. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, as I'm hoping you all listeners will do, in this maiden voyage on Speak Free Radio. Okay, maiden voyage on Speak Free Radio. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Let's do it now. Here we go. This is Theos. That's the Greek version of the word God, Theos. But the name of Yahweh doesn't need to be translated. And And all the information, the research I've been doing lately shows that the original Gospels were written in Hebrew, not Greek. And the original Hebrew maintained the name of Yahweh in it. But those have been fallen into disuse because there were very few Israelites that were able to speak Hebrew. Paul was able to speak Hebrew. Yahshua and many of the apostles were able to speak Hebrew. But the common folk had lost Hebrew and begun to speak Aramaic. Many of them had learned to speak Greek as well. So since their offspring and followers from the various Greek, the Greco-Roman world of Israel, they had lost the ability to speak Hebrew or read Hebrew. So Greek became the dominant language of the Gospels, and that's how that worked out. Nevertheless, the name of Yahweh, and that was the reason why Stephen was stoned, because he spoke the name of Yahweh. That's why he was stoned. The Jews were incensed when he spoke the name of Yahweh. So let's continue. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to the one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, which means you have to repent of your sins. Stop sinning and repent of the sins that you have committed. That's what the book of Revelation is all about, when it says put on white clothing, white raiment. First of all, you have to have white skin to be an Israelite, and then you have to have a clean slate. Give up your earthly sins. Otherwise, the judgment day will be really bad for you. Verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Now, the fact is that the Bible is actually a very simple racial message. And once you understand that it is a simple racial message embracing the two seed lines, then you know what it's all about. You know who you are, and you know who the enemy is. The vast majority of white people don't know who the real enemy is. They think it's the deep state. They think it's, one group thinks it's the Republicans. The other group thinks it's the Democrats. Feminists think that men, white men. No, the enemy loves to play one group against another. So it will always invent animosities between the two, namely the law of division, the law of deception, and the law of division go hand in hand to divide our people against one another through various deceptive means, okay, to take advantage of our nationalities, because we don't all speak the same language, and divide us that way. And the interesting thing about the Jews is that throughout history, their leaders have always been multilingual, especially their traders. Their traders have always been multilingual so they could converse with Arabs, with Chinamen, with white people, etc., etc., etc. I don't think they had to learn Black African, because there's no such language, written language, and they have to learn our language. And that's what the way it used to be. The people who came into our nations had to learn our language, but now we have to learn their language. Sí, señor. Comprende? Capiche? To present you as a chaste virgin unto Yahshua Messiah. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. Let me go back. I may have overlooked something here. Where is the word of beguiled? Okay, beguiled is exapateo. Exapateo, that's a Greek word. G 1537 and G 538, which means to seduce wholly. WHOLLY, to seduce wholly. Okay, which means, in my opinion, coition took place and conception took place, and Cain was the son of that conception. Otherwise, what would the word holy mean? How about completely? To seduce completely. They weren't just necking and petting. For all you young people out there, they weren't just necking and petting. They actually engaged in the act. Otherwise, what does the word whole mean? Let me look at the word G538 to see what that means. Hold on. My 538. Okay. No, that's not it. Let me see if I can grab it. Gee, I'd have to do a search. It disappears off my screen when I try to grab it. And that's a real failing here of eSword. It does this all the time. Sometimes I can grab it, sometimes I can't. Anyway, the word whole or complete are synonymous. So a complete seduction involves conception. Now, it can include the sex act without conception, but in this case, it did come with conception. That's why Cain was rejected. That's why Cain was a murderous thug, because he had the mentality. Remember, I said early on, your mentality can be continued in your genetics. Your mentality is carried through with your genetics. Your habits, your behavior patterns are transmitted from one generation to another. This has been proved by experiment constantly over and over again. So it's not just your physical genetics. It's also your mentality, your spirit, or your inability to house a certain spirit, namely the Holy Spirit, which is only intended for Adamites, especially those of us who are Israelites. So the Jews have a completely different spirit. It's totally incompatible with our spirit. And you have to understand that. They have a completely different spirit. And that's why this enmity, their behavior, is so easy to identify once you know who and what you're dealing with. As Yahshua said, by their fruit shall you know them. So I challenge any Judeo-Christian to demonstrate one good thing the Jews have done sincerely. You know, they will behave, they will treat you nice when they first get to know you, but they're always got that knife in the back of their hand, behind their back, ready to stab you when you least expect it, because you trusted the serpent. You're not supposed to trust the serpent. Eve trusted the serpent. And look what she got for it. 6,000 years of travail for all of us, okay? But this had to happen because, as I have said elsewhere, they injected a virus into us. Now, whether or not we succumb to that virus, the Jews are a virus. They're a viral people. And that virus is deception. And if they can inject that deceptive virus into us, it can change us from what we're supposed to be into what they want us to be. But this is part and parcel of the battle between the two seed lines. They're trying to get us white people to behave like they do, to corrupt us, to bribe us, to kill us if they have to. And Paul says they kill us all the day long. Who is they? It's a serpent seed line, obviously. Now, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus or another Yeshua, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, there's that spirit, which can be transmitted genetically, folks, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Okay, so we have to have that Holy Spirit, which we received at Pentecost. We have to accept the sacrifice of our kinsman redeemer. Otherwise, you're not really an Israelite. Okay, if you don't make that acceptance, you're not really an Israelite. And behave in righteousness Revelation 12:17, and have the faith of Yahshua Messiah. That's not many qualifications. It's very simple. The gospel is very simple when you understand it correctly. Okay, so let's get back to the document, and I'll try taking the advice of one of the chatters and see, oops, and try to turn the page, and which I failed to do. I lost the document entirely. Let me see if I can open it up. Okay. So Swamp Fox, thanks for that advice, but I was planning on stopping very soon anyway. So what I'm going to do now is go into StreamYard. I'm not going to leave the chat rooms, but I'm going to go directly into StreamYard and open it up for calls. So, okay, Kapal is telling me to turn butt off, but the people in EFR were not hearing me. So here we have Michael, who says, hello, Pastor. And so, wait a minute. Okay. Yosef came first, so I'm going to add Yosef first. Okay, Yosef? All right, I have to unmute. I think you have to unmute yourself, Yosef. I'm not used to this platform. So you are in the chat room.
Okay, there you go. No, I was just on this format so I could listen live.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to turn butt off because it's conflicting with your signal. So I'm sorry about that, Eurofolk Radio.
I'll just mute myself, Eli.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you have a question, so go ahead.
Oh, no, I was only on this format so I could listen live because on the regular EFR, I can't listen live.
Okay.
On my cell phone.
Yeah. I just closed button and it automatically reopened.
Okay. Well, I'll mute on my end then. Thanks.
Okay. So there are problems with this setup and we'll have to see. Maybe we'll just have to stay strictly on Speak Free Radio. And, all right. In order to hear you, I have to add myself. Okay. Yosef is there. I'm going to add Michael really quickly too. And so.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, Michael, you're live.
Yeah. Good morning, Pastor Eli. Is this your first program? Congratulations.
Yes, this is on Speak Free. And unfortunately, there's a problem with the audio, but please go ahead.
Yeah, I got born again this year and I was baptized again. Is it? Can you be baptized twice?
Okay.
Can you be baptized twice?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see if there's something else interfering with the signal here.
I can hear you clearly. Hear you great.
Yeah. Okay. I tell you what. Since I'm getting a garbled input, can you go into the chat room and type in your question?
Okay.
And then I think I could probably go into back to EFR as well. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm in StreamYard. I'm on StreamYard platform.
Right. Okay.
Great. Can hear and see you. Let's
give it another try. Yeah, go ahead. Keep talking. It seems to be getting better.
Yeah, about being baptized twice, being born again.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, yeah, baptize in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit is the instruction we're being given in the New Testament that's in Matthew, at the very end of Matthew. But it's not the same as it's being incorporated into the bloodline. Okay, that's your acknowledgement that I belong to the bloodline. All right,
okay.
So if you baptize a person of another race, that does not accomplish that, right? That's a violation of the law. You can't baptize other people into the race, okay? They might accept the religion called Christianity, or they might accept the religion called Judaism, which a lot of these, what do they call themselves? The Hebrew roots people, okay? But the Jews are not Hebrews. They're not part of the race of Adam. They're outsiders. They're total outsiders. So Hebrew Roots people think that the Jews are God's chosen people. And they're hoping that the Jews will get baptized, but that'll never happen.
Okay. Another question. Are you familiar with the four curses of Judaism? Disinheritance and the fig tree, desolation, and deicide? Are you familiar with those?
The fig tree? Did you say fig tree?
Here's the four curses of Judaism. Number one is disinheritance. Number one is disinheritance. Number two is the fig tree. Number three is desolation. And then number four is deicide.
Well, okay, so the Jews claim to have their own path to salvation, but the Bible says otherwise, because we know that the Edomites will never be saved. They will be destroyed. Their seed line will be utterly destroyed. And then there's no coming back for them. So whatever they teach is really not relevant to us. It's just not relevant to us. Okay.
Now, what is their book, the Tanakh? What is the Tanakh?
Well, that is their made-up book. They refer falsely as the Torah. The Torah is the five books of Moses. That's the Torah, the giving of the law. They claim that, but they also claim the Talmud. But the Talmud totally contradicts the Torah. So whatever the Jews teach is, as it says in Luke chapter 12, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So Judaism is the religion of hypocrisy. It's not the religion of Yahweh. It's not the religion of the Old Testament. It's the religion of hypocrisy. Okay.
Okay.
Did you catch all of that?
Yes. Yeah, but St. Paul, being a Jew, is a Messianic Jew. Would he be called a Messianic Jew, St. Paul?
Okay. That's the problem with the word Jew. The word Jew is a false translation of Judah. There's no way a Judahite can be a Jew, because the Jews are mixed-race people. Judah, the whole tribe of Judah, is not mixed-race people. So it's like applying the word cowboy to both cowboys and Indians when they're completely different genomes. All right, that's the linguistic trick I was talking about earlier, the false translation of scripture, okay? So there's no such thing as a Jew, and we'll just use the word Jew to apply to them, not us, because that's the word they want to use. But we are of Judah and the other 11 tribes. The Jews are not.
Who are they? They're of the Jews. Right. But they didn't use that back in Jesus' time. That didn't exist, right?
They knew that because they were the Pharisees.
They were the Pharisees, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They knew they weren't of Judah. They knew they were of Edom. They knew that. Okay.
And Esau. Right. Edom and Esau?
Edom is the Edomites. Esau, yeah, the one who race mixed and married into the Cain satanic seed line. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Okay, bye. Okay, so we have the chat room available here. But Paul, did you want to say something? Okay. And Paul, you're still there. So, all right. So that was one question, and Joseph seems to have left. So, because I didn't remove him. So let me go back, see if I can go back into the EFR chat room and see what's happening there. Okay. Okay. For those of you who are still around on Eurofolk Radio, when I turned butt off, it disconnected me from everything, not just from butt, the EFR broadcaster. Disconnected me from everything. So let me go back into the EFR chat room here, and maybe we can get the whole show going again. But right now, those of you in the EFR chat room should be able to hear me, and I will try once again trying to get the show on the road, because we still have a half an hour. So we're probably going to have to quit early anyhow. So Paul and I will have to work on how to integrate these two platforms and get the word out to more and more people. Okay, Paul, Eric, you're still there. And brother, praise Yahweh, Swamp Fox. Yeah. So it's delayed, but we hear you. Okay, very good. All right, so let me try to get the internet version of the article. But actually, I don't really need to, because I know the subject very well. So let me talk about some of the differences between, okay, apparently there was a disconnect. Maybe it wasn't set up to go for a full 2 hours. So, but as for now, just to stay in touch with the people at Eurofolk Radio, so I'm just going to talk, you know, to the people at Eurofolk Radio for the balance of the show. And I'll take an early break, because I'm going to need to prepare for Voice of Christian Israel. Okay. So, yes, Anathan 77, praise Yahweh. Thank you. Okay, it says the sound is good on SpeakFree, but it's not good on StreamYard. So trying to integrate the other people into the show didn't work. I haven't turned off SpeakFree Radio, so I guess people are hearing me on SpeakFree Radio and Eurofolk Radio, but bringing calls in created a problem. So we'll have to see if we can integrate that in the future. Okay, so let's go to Genesis 3:15 and see what that's all about. Okay, and this is something, again, the churches totally ignore. And Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent, again, the definition, it says over here, it's snake from its hiss. This is an insufficient definition from Strong's Concordance. Other concordances will give you a more complete definition of the word. Now, it's quite possible, and we know that Strong's Concordance was influenced by the Masoretes. The Masoretes who influenced the King James translation and other translations by altering the meanings of words, such as Jew, replacing the word Judah with the word Jew, replacing the word nation, goyim, with the word Gentile in the Old Testament, and the word ethnos, which is nation in the Greek, with also the word Gentile, just to confuse us, so the Jews could preach their version of the scriptures, by which they are God's chosen people, the Jews, not Judah, but the Jews, and all the rest of us are Gentiles. So they have substituted Jewish jargon in the translations in place of the original Hebrew and Greek. And that's why I've been doing all these shows analyzing the actual meanings of the Hebrew and Greek words in Scripture, which are not reflected in the modern translations. They simply are not. And this is by design. This is by Masoretic design, and these Masoretes are the very same scribes and Pharisees who created the religion called Judaism, which did not exist in Old Testament times. It began to take shape in the 100 years before Yeshua, when King John Hyrcanus began circumcising Edomites, but that act of circumcision, a ritual circumcision, does not make one an Israelite if you're not an Israelite by birth. So there's no way a Canaanite or an Edomite can become an Israelite by ritual circumcision. That ain't going to happen. And if a Jew gets baptized, that does not turn that person into an Israelite either, right? And rarely does it accomplish converting that Jew into a Christian. Many Jews have tried, but their tribe, they're still part of the tribe of Cain genetically. So they can't really opt out. You can't opt out of your bloodline. You can't opt out of your DNA. And that's why the subject of DNA is so important in these end times, because the Jews are trying to change our DNA with their platform of drugs, which we're warned about in Revelation 18:23, where it says that they will deceive us with pharmakia. It is a genetic injection of false DNA into our bodies by which they actually change our DNA. That's just another way in which they are trying to destroy Yahweh's true chosen people, Christian Israel, the covenant Israel, covenant people. So they know who they are, they know who we are, but our people are still under the delusion of forgetfulness. But that forgetfulness has been prophesied will end just before the second coming, that so that more and more of our people will wake up. And if we can get this message out to more and more white people, we will help them wake up. Anyway, to those of you who tried to call in, thanks for trying. We may have to do something to make that go more smoothly in the future. Okay, so let's continue here. And again, as Pastor Gaiman says in his message, he said unto the woman, yea, hath Gael, Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yes, and he's quoting Yahweh correctly here. Yeah, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And of course, trees are people. We're talking about bloodlines here, genetic. Everything in the earthly realm exists because of genetics. Seed after seed, kind after kind, like be like, etc. Okay, everything that exists, every living being that exists on this planet exists because of genetics. And we're talking about genetics here. We're not just talking about human beings. We're not talking about literal trees. Although in some cases, because we're talking about genetics, there are some verses are talking about literal trees. Others are talking about literal human bloodlines. Okay, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Okay, now she is talking about literal food. She is talking about literal food, but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, there should be a clue here that you can touch all kinds of fruit. There may be some fruit that is poisonous, which you shouldn't eat, but we're talking about genetics here. Because all fruit is based on genetics. So it's not just literal fruit that we're talking about here. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now here he lies to her that the fruit that he wants her to partake of, and that word eat can also be translated partake of. So it's not literal eating with your mouth, but partaking of in various types of ways. Okay, and that is established by word studies, because there's many instances of the word eat where it's not talking about eating literal fruit. So you have to be aware of all these different meanings in the original language, okay? And they're not all given by Strong's. They're not all given by Strong's, which in my contention was doctored also. Okay, but here is the Hebrew word akal, meaning to eat, literally or figuratively, burn up, consume, devour, dine, eat, feed with, food, wise, or wisdom, to make wise, indeed, and plenty, lay, L-A-Y, meat, and to eat quite. Eat quite actually is reminiscent of to seduce wholly, as given by Paul. So the word is akal. And again, we're only dealing with Strong's, and we could probably deal with other concordances who give much broader definitions of the instances of the word. Okay. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So there's hardly any fruit that we consider fruit that's consumable by human beings that will cause us to die. You can overindulge in just about anything and give you a tummy ache and a disease, right? Especially if it's contaminated. But then the serpent lies to her and says, Nachash, ye shall not surely die. So here's one of the accusations of the non-seedliners against us, that no, this can only be a literal snake. And there's no seedliner who has ever said that this is a literal snake. This is the full definition of Nahash being a two-legged critter, because he's being compared to a beast of the field, the living being of the field, okay? And a field is someone who can walk around in that field. That's an enclosed field, like a farm or a yard or a garden, okay? Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yahweh had made, okay? This proves that the beast of the field was made by Yahweh. There's a lot of people who don't want to believe that either, okay? So this encounter between Eve and the beast of the field, or an angelic being impersonating a beast of the field, did literally impregnate her, and that's proven down, first of all, in Genesis 3:15, but also before that. And he said, and Yahweh confronts Eve, and he says, and Yahweh God called unto, this is verse 9, and Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And verse 11 states, and Yahweh said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou should not eat? So if the commandment seems vague to us, that Eve disobeyed, it was had to be more specific from Yahweh to Adam. Now, maybe Adam didn't fully convey the import of this command to Eve, or if he just regarded it as well. You know, we can debate that till the cows come home. But so it's that Adam knew that if he partook of that tree, that his nakedness would be exposed. Now, what does nakedness have to do with anything? Let's look at the word naked in the Hebrew. Okay, and it is Aram, nudity, nakedness, okay? So you can have, you know, sex with anything without getting fully naked, but they were already naked, right? But they were not ashamed of being naked. So Eve was a, you know, for lack of a better expression, an available target for Nahash, an available target. And the man said to the woman, whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Okay, so it begs credulity that this was an apple, because there's no apple mentioned. Okay, that's just an assumption by the churches. And so, but let's listen to the rest of it. Because what was her punishment that was accrued because of this partaking of the evil fruit, okay? And it was having to bear children with painful childbirth, and to she was henceforth being delivered to her husband. She would have to obey her husband. And then they were cast out of the garden. And they lost connection to the tree of life. So why? Because, as I was talking about earlier, because our mental capacity to bring forth bad fruit, you know, in terms of behavior, was inculcated at that point. Okay, and then Adam was cursed. He would have to eat eat with the, from the sweat of his brow, would have to work, where we, otherwise we wouldn't have had to work for a living. Okay? So these curses already occur in Genesis chapter 3. They already occur in Genesis chapter 3. And that seems, for eating an apple, that seems like an awfully unjust punishment. Okay? So I'll just read verse 24. So he drove out the man, which is Adam, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So to prevent the tree of life from being infected in its heavenly realm, the cherubims were placed there. Okay, so it had already been infected in Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Had to reject that call. So this is the import of Genesis chapter 3. We've done studies on this all the way through. And so I'll just include Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. So according to two seed lines, she was already pregnant. Why? By Nahash. Why would her womb have been cursed with pain and childbirth and having to wear loincloths over their genital areas and all the other suffering that they incurred? Why would that have happened if she were not impregnated already in Genesis chapter 3? So, and she conceived and bare Cain. Now, this, of course, is Eve speaking now. And Eve said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh, and man is Ish, not Adam. Okay? So the first child that came out was not of Adam, it was of Ish. Ish is simply a male of any species. And a lot of people say that the word Lord here should actually be El Shaddai, but I'm just going with the translation that we have. We have to deal with the translations we have, although there are, even the early church fathers agree with us two seed liners that Eve was impregnated by someone other than Adam, because it's compared to the situation that Joseph had. He found Mary pregnant already. Okay, but not by Nahash. She was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So not by Nahash. So Joseph laments and he says, well, cursed I am because I'm in the same situation as Adam was with Eve. Now, why would he say that? Because Mary was pregnant from somebody else. Okay, that's why Joseph brings that up. Okay, so the early church fathers knew what was going on. It was the modern churches who have shrouded these passages with mystery. So this bitter pill that we have to swallow has been given to us by Adam and Eve. And we have to deal with it because our race has been infected. We have to uninfect our race. And the only way to do that is to accept the sacrifice that Yahshua made at the cross in 33 AD and accept the Holy Spirit to give it to us at Pentecost and then obey Revelation 12:17. Obey the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith of Yahshua Messiah. Those are the four prerequisites in a nutshell that we have to follow those four principles. Otherwise, we will not get into the kingdom, or we might be lesser beings if we do get into the kingdom. And that's another discussion. So I think at this point I'm going to conclude today's show because I have to, you know, get ready for the next show. And I'm hoping everybody, you know, got the gist of it, what we're trying to establish here today. And Paul and I are going to have to get together and see if we can get the call-ins integrated into the show without disconnecting the people on Eurofolk Radio. So my apologies for that. We'll keep on trying because we need to reach a wider audience. And this is Paul's intention and my intention as well, as to reach a wider audience of people who have never heard Christian identity ever before. Okay? So, Brother Haber says, a baptized Jew taints the water. There you go. That's right. That's right. Yeah. And Swamp Fox says, Sarah Silverman will be playing the Jew's harp at the Hittite Hootenanny, right? And that Hootenanny is going to be very hot. You can delete one of those O's, the Hittite Hootenanny, and they're going to burn. They are going to burn. Yeah, and Swamp Fox also says, Adam was out in the field naming animals. The traveling salesman, Satan, took advantage of her being home alone and sold her a bill of goodies, right? A genetic bill of goods. Thank you. And Seven of None says, well put. So I'm going to conclude today's show. Thanks for listening. And yeah, we veterans need to be patient. Very, very patient. And patient not only with ourselves, with our brethren, and all the Judeos who have gone the way of Cain, and mentally the way of Cain. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. We'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Beep.